We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Years. Andy Liu, camp is just around the corner.
How excited are you? About time. Sam, let's get going. Probably one of the most nerve-wracking Warrior season in a while. So we're ready for a multitude of reasons, which is why we have this guest today.
This has been a weird news week for the Warriors between Andrew Wiggins, vaccine aversion, Joe Lacob apparently not knowing what's on and off the record. And then we got some injury updates, which I think is a better conversation to have right now. Yep. So who better to bring in than Dr. Nirav Pandya? Dr. Nirav, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I agree. Been a pretty crazy week news-wise for the Warriors.
Yeah, not exactly how I would have written it up, or however the expression goes, but we're here. So I want to say it was Tuesday or Wednesday we got updates on Clay and Wiseman. So let's start with Clay. So he is, if I remember correctly, he's doing individual workouts at this point, but he's not working out with the team. So can you kind of give us a broad overview of what they're trying to do with him and where he is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's kind of right at the mark where we know everything is structurally healed. So his Achilles is healed. You're not worried about things not being fully fused together. But I think the gradual progression at this time point now is he's really starting to do running stuff. He's doing agility work. He's jumping. So doing that in a controlled setting where the team can be most likely like, hey, you're going to do 25 of these or do 30 of these. So making sure that those basketball movements are good. And then it's starting to do the unpredictable stuff. So I think over the next couple of months, what will happen is, all right, we're going to get you in a drill where you're doing one-on-one stuff where you don't know what the other person's going to do. Then we're going to do 3-on-3. Then we're going to do 5-on-5. So I think it's him getting that confidence back and then also building up that endurance and strength. You see all these photos and on the internet and people are like, oh, his one leg looks smaller than the other. I mean, that's expected. I mean, he hasn't really done anything really explosive in such a long period of time. So it's going to take some time for him to build that back up. And that's where I think these next 2 to 3 months are going to be important for him.
A lot of people have said this. I don't know how true it is because what's the percentage of people who are actually doctors, right, in the world? It's you and then, not many of us. A lot of people say, oh, well, Clay tore his ACL years ago. So that should be, he's really only recovering from one injury, which I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. It's funny, when he had his ACL, everyone was like, oh, this is going to be a devastating injury. And then he tears his Achilles and everyone forgets about it. I mean, there are very few people, I can even think of professional sports who've had an ACL and then Achilles back to back like that. And honestly, Clay really got a couple months of real kind of playing basketball back with COVID and everything else after his ACL. So we're just forgetting about that. But that's an important part of it as well, too, not only from the fact that he's been so far, almost 2 years away from the game right now, but his ACL is still going to have some things he'll need to work on, particularly in a live setting. He's never tested that ACL in a game setting. Now, even though he's a couple of years out from that, that could also potentially be something in terms of his confidence when he comes back as well, too. So I think we have to think about that as well, too. It's not just Achilles, it's also his ACL.
Ooh. In the articles that came out kind of after the injury update, they said there was some hope that he could get into team practices at some point during camp. Do you think that's realistic, or do you really think he's probably going to be in controlled one-on-ones at least for the duration of training camp?
That's a great question. I think it's a really based on what his, how his body's responding and what the medical staff, Celebrini, think he's doing. He's definitely, from a healing standpoint, far enough along, but if he's progressing well, it wouldn't be a surprise if we see him doing that. But I think what's probably going to be more likely to happen is that we'll see him doing that, but he'll have to do that for a long period of time. So we may see him practicing and scrimmaging, but it could be like 4 to 6 weeks. And people are still like, why is Clay not playing? He's been scrimmaging for 3-4 weeks now. I think it's going to take just a long period of time to get that basketball kind of endurance and strength back, which is just going to take a couple months given that time off.
I have one more question on kind of Clay's recovery process. There's kind of two schools of thought on this. One is you kind of get him out there when he's ready to contribute and he's on a minutes limit and you're gradually increasing it over time. The other is wait longer. Obviously, then he misses more games, but when he comes back, maybe it's more like he can play 30 minutes a game instead. Is there a medical advantage to either route?
I think the slow progression of minutes is better, because I think what's going to happen is that there's naturally going to be soreness and things like that happen. And I think you kind of saw it a little bit with Durant when he came back. They didn't have a minutes restriction. He kind of played and then he hurt his hamstring, So I think it's better to be controlled and kind of see what's sore, what parts of his game are kind of impacted by it. So I think it's better to do a slow, gradual progression than have him come out, play 35 minutes, and next thing his hamstring's sore, he's got a hip issue or things like that. So I think slow, gradual progression will be better.
It almost feels like a setback is inevitable. And it's not really called a setback at that point, because like it's not realistic to have Clay come back and just be right. Like, it's not really a thing that's possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what people need to be to be prepared for is that, he may play 4 days and suddenly then they're like, oh, we're giving Clay a week off because his hamstring or his hip or something like that. It's going to happen. You can't be over 30, be 2 years away from a game and expect his body to respond the same. Yeah, his skill might be the same, but his body, it's going to take a while to come back. So, I mean, there's no example in professional sports where someone takes that, time off that I can think of and suddenly comes back and is back playing 82 games at 30 minutes. So I think there's going to be setbacks. Somebody's got to be prepared for that. But it's about maximizing his skill in the minutes that he's having there and getting him ready for if there is a playoff run or a long postseason run.
Yeah.
Do you think 50 games is reasonable, or are we shooting even too high with that? Just to put into context, they'll have played about 20 games when we get to Thanksgiving, maybe December 1st, like right around that end of November, beginning of December, they're 20 games in.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere between, probably right around 40, 45, I think would be reasonable. I think in general, you see when people come back and play a full season, they're playing about 20, 25 less games or so. So I think that would put him right around 40, 45 or so if there's 60 games left. I think the medical staff is going to be cautious with them as well too. So I think, yeah, expect no back-to-back games, I would assume. Maybe sometimes when they're on long road trips, he may even stay back, if they're wanting to rest him. So I think if they're smart, which it sounds like they will be, about making sure he's ready for April, May, and June and not rushing him back. It may even be more holding him back than what the medical staff wants to do will be the key thing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, let's get to the guy that I have people ask me why didn't he play in Summer League? I think a lot of Warriors fans that just kind of, they don't pay attention every single day are genuinely curious, like what happened to Wiseman? Like, he obviously got hurt at the end of the season, but man, he's not even going to be there for training camp. He's not even going to be there for the beginning of the season, Doc. That's a little crazy. Is that what was supposed to happen?
You know, it is, you know, within, like, when you think of a meniscus surgery, it can be 6 to 9 months. And where I think a lot of people get caught up is that most people, non-NBA professional athletes, just get their meniscus kind of shaved out and they're back doing stuff in 4 to 6 weeks. So people are like, oh, meniscus surgery, why aren't you back doing your stuff? And I think also the way the Warriors communicated as well too, they said, you know, you got your surgery April 15th, we'll reevaluate, you know, come September, and we anticipate him being there for training camp. But that's a long time. That's 5 months of rehab and recovery. And, you know, based on what the tear is like, what the surgery actually went through, you know, him coming back somewhere between 6 to 9 months is totally reasonable. I just think that everyone had this expectation that, oh, it's been such a long period of time, but meniscus, they take a while to heal, particularly when you repair them.
Yeah. Jaren Jackson was out for a while.
Yeah. I think he was like 9, 10 months. Everyone's like, what's wrong with his knee? What's wrong with his knee? And then he comes back and he's fine. So
he's fine, right?
Yeah.
He's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Fouling a little too much, but that's probably more on the back.
That might be Wiseman too, though. I mean, it's the same thing. Doing the same
So they communicated that he's not jumping.
Yeah.
And at 6 months, which I believe is October 15th,
yeah,
they're hoping to presume jumping. What does that mean?
Yeah. So typically when you're the kind of the last phase of kind of like before you're like cleared to go back to doing everything is making sure you're fully jumping. So usually building up strength, doing a little running, starting that full jumping. Then after that, you can then transition into kind of basketball specific stuff. So kind of, you know, I would assume kind of where he would be at is kind of where Clay is right now in terms of you're doing individual stuff at October 15th, you're doing jumping, and then you start getting back and scrimmaging against other people. So I would say on the kind of the short end, it could be, you know, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. I think the difficult thing is, unlike Clay, where you can kind of say, look, let's just see how you feel. It's just about building up your strength. A knee after a meniscus repair can respond really differently from person to person. So if everything goes smoothly, his knee's not sore, he's got confidence, yeah, you could be on the 4 to 6 week time frame after that October 15th where he gets back. But if he has a little swelling, he doesn't have his confidence, you know, then it could be pushed out a little bit longer. So he's on track from what we typically tell patients after meniscus repair, but just may not be in the time frame that everyone expected, because everyone thought 4 to 6 months as opposed to 6 to 9 months. Yeah.
So 4 to 6 weeks after the 15th of October would mean he would miss somewhere between 14 to 20 games. So if it's on the 4 week side, it might be like 12 to 15 games. If it's on the 6 week side, it's closer to 20. My question for you is, when he comes back from that, is he going to be on a heavy minutes limit like Clay? I mean, I assume it's not as bad as Clay because of the two injury situation, or will he be more of a full go, assuming the conditioning is there?
I think the ramp up will be a lot quicker for him. So I think that if, you know, you usually bring someone in, you're trying like 10 to 15 minutes. And if his knee responds well, kind of over a short period of time, then I think it won't be as big of a deal for him, particularly since he's young and it's just kind of a more basic injury to come back from. So maybe that first week or two, maybe a minutes restriction, but then as long as his knee feels fine, I think he'll be back playing, you know, however many minutes the coaching staff wants him to.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess the other concern with Wiseman is that, at least with Clay coming back, he's confident that he can play NBA basketball. Wiseman's still trying to learn while trying to rehab from his knee, which is makes it probably a little tougher.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the tough thing. I mean, for someone in general, I mean, if you're not an NBA player, getting that confidence back while trying to learn something, you know, new can be difficult. And so you're worried about your knee, you're worried about integrating the offense, you've got all these other things to worry about. So, you know, what I worry a little bit about when people think about his meniscus is that suddenly Wiseman's having those natural transitions and they're trying to get back and play an NBA game. And everyone's going to be like, what's wrong with this meniscus? Why isn't it doing well? I'm like, no, this, you know, he hasn't played a lot of basketball and he's coming off a meniscus surgery. So it's kind of a combination of factors that might make it a little difficult for him those first couple months.
So we know with like an ACL, you notice it most with like lateral movements.
Right.
When guys are coming back, it controls the stability. Kind of the hardest thing is moving laterally. What are things we can expect for coming off of a meniscus, or what should we be watching for?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it is going to be those explosive activities. So regardless of what that be, maybe be running down the court, whether it be jumping up, you know, dunking, things like that. So it's especially when you're landing, it's that shock absorber. So anything that really kind of causes them to load, and that's where it's harder to have a meniscus for, you know, for like a power forward or a center, just because of how much more force they're putting on it as opposed to a guard. So I think where we may potentially see it is how aggressive he is going vertically. And coming down on that. So that's what we would potentially expect. Yeah.
Thankfully he's 10 feet tall and he doesn't need to jump that high to play. So, no, it makes sense. Doc, really, really appreciate your time. This has been useful. Is there anything you want to plug or say?
No, I think we're looking forward to the Warriors season. I'm excited, just like everyone else, for training camp. And hopefully, as much as I love Clay and Wiseman content, I hope I run out of content for them so that they can be healthy.
How about one last one before you get out of here? Good news on Steph Curry. Safe to assume that the butt pad's not going to make a thing. It's not going to be a thing this season, right?
Yeah, no, I think he'll be good. No more falls. But yes, there's a lot of interest amongst Warriors fans about his coccyx. So I will keep it at that.
Do we think the butt pad helped him shoot a higher percentage? Because if he did shoot a higher percentage after the injury, and part of me is wondering, maybe should keep it.
You know, you never know. It could just change that arc of that shot just a little bit, pushing your pelvis forward.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Doc. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.